property near the bridge and wanted heights raised. I'll let my colleague finish.
My name is Elizabeth Cooksey, and I'm also in the Goose Hollow Foothills League, and I'm here to ensure that Tracy's dynamite presentation isn't cut short. We believe the city shouldn't be doing business this way. As you can see in image 2, this supposedly protected view protects nothing, since the red box showing the protected area is in the middle of the street where no one will ever build anything. City Council already agreed to protect the view of the Vista Bridge when you adopted the West Quadrant Plan, one of its 5 urban design policies specifically named the Vista Bridge and committed to elevate the presence, character, and role of this significant public view corridor, which defines the district. And it commits to stepping heights down to the neighborhoods on the west. The proposed heights at the first image clearly don't step down to Goose Hollow. Policy 5.4 of this draft commits to preserving views of the Vista Bridge. Policy 5.7 commits to preserving gateways, yet this magnificent gateway will be blocked by tall buildings. Please keep today's view corridor and require lower heights for 4 blocks near the bridge. On image number 3, you will see the current view of Mount Hood from the Vista Bridge and what it will be with the heights proposed in this draft. This is view SW15. We are asking you to lower heights only slightly, 4 floors on approximately 8 properties, to protect current views from the Vista Bridge of the low slopes of Mount Hood. It won't take much to save today's view. The beautiful contrast between the low slopes and the snow cap is what makes this view startling and what defines Portland. This view was used as the title shot for Portlandia, and thousands of tourists visit weekly. In the top photo, this view is being used as the backdrop by West Sylvan Middle School's morning show. This vista is important to Portland's sense of place. And now the beep is asking me to turn it over to Eric.
Eric Simon, Goose Hollow. On all views, it is shocking to see that the ESSE, the Economic, Social, Environmental, and Energy Analysis, developed by BPS staff, has no metric to measure views that are so iconic that they've appeared on Portland postcards and promotional materials for over a century. In their ESSE analysis, private profits for developers will always be weighted more than the public good of egalitarian access to views. We recommend adding this paragraph to the ESSE. Many views are iconic to Portland's sense of place, so much so that their value to Portland's identity, history, and the massive economic boost of tourism must outweigh any other consideration. These views must be protected, and their cultural, historic, and economic impact far outweighs any other metric. This includes views of downtown and Mount Hood from the Rose Garden and Japanese Garden, scenic characters, corridors to and from the Vista Bridge, which Portland has protected for almost a century, and views of Mount Hood from Salmon Springs Fountain. On image number 4, you will see historic and contemporary photos showing how much views from the Rose Garden define our city. Rose Garden photos are frequently used by Travel Portland to promote tourism and conventions, which are a substantial part of Portland's economy. We're asking to add the downtown skyline as a focal point to Rose Garden views SW03 and 09. On SW10 and 12, the Garden Store and Zoo Train, the skyline is a focal point but is listed as allow, which means no vegetation management. Please list all Rose Garden views as prohibit. This will allow for more rigorous vegetation management to keep century-old views that define our city. It's very easy to save these views. We're not asking for much. On image number 5, you'll see 9 historic buildings in Goose Hollow that we're trying to protect. They're either listed on the National Register or on the Historic Resources Inventory. Please provide affordable several provide affordable housing and some of the cheapest market rate rents per square foot in our neighborhood. We ask for you to lower the current heights on the 9 historic buildings along and near Southwest Morrison that are threatened with incentivized demolitions by 320-foot heights. Please lower heights to 125 feet. We also support the West End's efforts to save over 100 historic buildings by lowering heights and reducing FAR. As reported in the NW Examiner, the Ombudsman found that West Quadrant Stakeholder Advisory Committee members, public officials, were unethical. They voted to give themselves millions of dollars by increasing heights on their own properties. The Ombudsman required SAC members to disclose their financial interests. They did not. They simply said, "We own many properties in this area." We encourage City Council to ask the Ombudsman if she is satisfied with their response and to rescind all heights given to these developers in this ethically compromised process. We don't think Portland should be doing business this way. We support Commissioner Fritz's amendments to reduce heights at the bridgehead, but we believe that many other heights were obtained in ethically compromised ways and should be rescinded.
Thank you. Tracy, I have one question. On the page 5, where you have the historic properties, I'm going to have to go back and do some homework, but, you know, like, let's take the Brano, which is the top left. That was part of the city's 11 by 13 campaign, I think, and I'll have to go back and check. I think we slapped a 60-year covenant of affordability. There was a lot of federal, state, and local money. So it may be that in a building like that, we've already got protections in place that regardless of the zoning. I think your concern is any building that doesn't have some covenant or some protection from the city where we're essentially creating an incentive to demolish?
Yes, and we know that, building affordable housing that's owned by the city, they're not going to demolish that building.
Well, in this case, we partnered with REACH, I guess.
But for several decades, the heights have been too high. We've been trying to claw them back for a long time because we have a few that are protected by covenant like that. They're protected for 60 years. But if we're relying on the goodwill of people to not demolish a building, apply if it's on a National Register listing or that sort of thing, to apply to have it delisted for 325 feet, I feel like the financial incentive is way too pressing, and so that's what I'm looking for. Right.
Thank you.
Very good. Well, thank you, everybody. Obviously, we're not getting to everybody who would like to testify today. I think we have about 60 more people who have signed up. So I want to remind people that the written record will remain open until September 15th at 5 p.m. if people would prefer just to submit their testimony by email if they did not get a chance to testify today. And there will be other opportunities, as was stated at the beginning of the hearing, for people to testify in person. I apologize that we did not get to that. I would like BPS staff to come up for just one moment, if I could have you come up. I have a list of questions that I will just quickly read into the record that I would like a response to by our October 18th session. First of all, what within the Central City 2035 helps owners acquire the additional FAR needed to ensure the affordable housing and seismic improvements are achieved beyond the base zoning requirements? Number two, given the multimodal mixed-use area designation within the Central City 2035 plan, doesn't that address past barriers with ODOT due to additional trip generation? Number three, what's the amount of FAR that's available for transfer in each sub-district? Number four, what's the need for FAR in each sub-district looking at likely redevelopment sites over the next 20 years? I'd like to see both of these pieces of data by our October 18th session. My sense is that requiring a transfer seems unnecessary and just adds to the uncertainty and the length of time that it takes to get projects going. And lastly, what is the problem, if any, of simply allowing a project to build to its allowed height once it meets our affordable housing and seismic upgrade standards for the first 3-to-1 FAR? So I'll give you this later. You don't have to write it down. It's probably not fun to write down, but I just wanted to give you a heads up on those. Colleagues, any further issues or questions? Commissioner Fritz?
So I have 14 questions. I won't read them into the record. but the main one that I'd like some input as much information as we can, both from the Northwest Examiner and from the Ombudsman's report about which particular properties may have a conflict of interest that we should be reconsidering. That's one of the things I'd like before we start addressing that issue. Thank you. I'll get you the rest in writing.
Great. And just to reiterate what Commissioner Fish said, we have four hearings here. We have the written record open, and this is really the opportunity for the public to chime in on specific projects, specific lots, specific FAR zoning issues. So this is really our time, regardless of the conflict, and I'm compelled by the Ombudsman's commentary on that. And I agree with Commissioner Fish. We need to tighten up the expectations and the rules with regard to boards and commissions. But this is really the time now for people to testify on these issues and give us their own perceptions. And I heard a lot of people talking about 100 feet or different issues on that. But certainly. Yeah, please, Commissioner Fritz.
Certainly, in-person testimony makes a huge difference, and I know that not everybody can be at a meeting during the day. And so while we do look at your written records, if you can send photographs or any kind of maps or anything that kind of gives us a little more context, that would be very helpful. As I mentioned to Aaron Brown, it's not helpful to send me 200 emails all saying the same thing. It makes it harder then for me to find the individual emails that say something different. So to the extent that if people want to do petitions, that they could tell me that there's 375 names and send me the names, that'd be lovely, but don't send me all those individual emails. It really is counterproductive. Thank you.
Great. So once again, the record for written testimony is open till Friday, September 15th at 5 p.m. This will allow people to augment their testimony based on what they've heard at the hearing. The first work session will be on October 18th at 2 p.m. We'll now shift to
Before you shift, the hearing is it continued till next week so that the remainder of the list can testify?
Yes, so the hearing is continued until next week so that those who have not testified will have the opportunity so to do. Thank you, legal counsel, for reminding me of that. Next item, please, Carla.
Thank you.